WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Tariq Gross.
My name is Jack.
Eddie Adams.
Eddie Adams from Torrance.
Yep.
Jack Warner, filmmaker.
Really?
Yeah. I make adult films, exotic pictures.
That's Burt Reynolds and Mark Wahlberg in a scene from Boogie Nights, a new movie about a group of people who make porn films. Reynolds plays a director who's slightly more ambitious than the average X-rated director. He aspires to make movies that people will watch for the story as well as the sex. Mark Wahlberg plays the well-endowed teenager who, with the help of the director, becomes one of the biggest stars of adult films. Boogie Nights takes place from 1977 to 84 and chronicles how the business was turned upside down by cocaine and video. Boogie Nights shared the Toronto Film Festival's top award with LA Confidential. My guest is the screenwriter and director of Boogie Nights, Paul Thomas Anderson. Although he's only 27, this is his second feature film. His first, Hard Eight, was set in the world of casino gambling. Before our interview gets started, let me tell you that we will be talking about some adult subject matter. Anderson told me that he grew up in the San Fernando Valley in California, which he describes as a capital of the adult film business. He'd occasionally see mysterious film crews going in and out of houses, and he'd pass cinder block warehouses without signs, which he assumed were connected to the industry. I asked him if, as part of his research, he ever went to the set of an adult film.
I went after I'd written the first draft, and spent some time and hung around and just... You know, it's kind of, it's a trip, you know. For the first 10 seconds, it's kind of shocking, but then after those 10 seconds, it's quickly, the shock sort of goes away, and it's just work, you know, and you're kind of witnessing these people really trying to do good work, you know, and it's really not that different from a real film set, you know, where they're worried about the same things, like, okay, is it in focus? Is the lighting okay, you know?
How's my hair?
You know, are we communicating what we want to communicate here, you know? And that's kind of interesting and wonderful, I think.
Yeah. Boy, if you ever needed a metaphor to kind of hammer home film as voyeurism, being right on a porn set would have to be it.
Yes.
Now, you got Burt Reynolds to be in this movie, and it's an excellent performance, and everybody is saying so. He was a big film star in the 70s when this movie mm-hmm. is set. You grew up in the 70s. Did he mean much to you when you were growing up?
Yeah, he did. I mean, I can remember, you know, being, and I told him this, I said when I was 8 years old and I saw Hooper, the first thing I did was go home and sort of recreate the title sequence of Hooper, you know, in my own bedroom, like with like soccer pads, you know. I mean, the opening title sequence of Hooper, he's like putting on all these stuntmen pads, and I would sort of ran home to my bedroom and sort of recreated that title sequence with, and I told him, and I he was impressed, I think.
Was that
I think
a good enough credential? The, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why he's in the movie.
Well, was it hard to get him to be in it? I mean, this is your second feature-length film to be released, but he probably didn't know you from a hole in the wall when you approached him.
He didn't, but, you know, the first time I met him was right after, so I sort of set up a screening of my first movie for him, and he watched it, and he had read Boogie Nights, so he knew what he was getting into, and we sat down, and it was kind of wonderful. It was sort of the same thing as going to a porno set. You know, for the first 10 seconds, it's Burt Reynolds, oh my God, you know, but then it sort of quickly went away, and it was just an interesting guy to talk to, and that's kind of the way it was on the set, you know, is that ultimately he's just another actor who just wants to do good work, you know, and it's, but that's not to say that there weren't a couple times where, while we were editing the movie, it was actually, you know, he would turn his head in a certain way or the light would catch him in a certain way, and I'd just sort of stop and say, that's Burt Reynolds. How did Burt Reynolds get in this movie? What's happening here?
Paul Thomas Anderson is my guest, and he wrote and directed the new film Boogie Nights. The Burt Reynolds character in your movie is a porn producer and director who wants to make movies that incorporate story into them, so people won't just watch the movie to see the sex scenes. They'll want to see what the outcome of the story is.
Right.
Is that based on a certain character or a certain type of trend in 70s porn?
Absolutely. That's something that you saw, I think, in 70s porn was more of an effort to create a genre, you know, to create a whole new sort of set of rules for these, you know, to take it out of sort of stag film status and make it, you know, a genre where you could tell a story and also have a movie that was basically a sex film. So I think Bert's character is kind of based on a lot of notions that flew around at that time, and there was a lot of people that really wanted to kind of try and dignify the industry at that time. Not to mention that Bert can also accurately reflect, I think, any so-called legitimate filmmaker's wishes, you know, which is, how do I make a good movie where, you know, I can keep people in the theater?
You obviously have a real affection for some of these characters. Did you know any of the people in the pornography industry, or have you since come to know them through the making of this movie?
I've since come to know them through the making of the movie. It's funny because when I first wrote the movie, I'd never been to a real porn set. Like I said, I'd only been sort of surrounded by it in a peripheral way, and all of my sort of knowledge was based on just sort of watching porno movies and seeing documentaries or reading a couple articles. And the actual research sort of in the field that I did was just to verify, well, is what I think the truth, you know? And then when I did meet some of the people in the industry, I kind of saw that my imagination wasn't really too far off from what the truth was. Well, actually, I should correct that. I would say that it was funnier and sadder than I thought it was going to be.
The young porn star in your movie is played by Mark Wahlberg, and in the movie, you know, his name is Eddie in the film, but he takes on the porn name Dirk Diggler. That's a name he imagines, you know, a porn star should have. How did you come up with that name, Dirk Diggler?
I have no idea, but I know that I still have the index card that where I wrote that name down when I was 17 years old. In my bedroom. I really don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I think a good porn name has to have two G's in it.
Oh, that's I knew that, important. Yeah. It's a kind of common assumption. Why? Why two G's?
I don't know. It just looks good and it sounds good for a good porn name. And you know, a K is pretty important, too. So, you know, I wish I really knew. But I it just kind of hit me like it hit him, I guess, like Dirk Diggler. Wow. That's my future.
There's a scene where Dirk Diggler pulls down his pants for the first time, and the crew of the porn movie sees how well endowed he is. Mm-hmm. And the camera pans the expression on each of their faces, and everybody has this absolutely fantastic look on their face.
Right.
And I'm wondering what the actors were really looking at when you shot those expressions.
You know, that's a wonderful question, and the answer is me. honestly, I think, and I remember it was the sound guy who said that was probably his single greatest experience on a film set, and I don't know what language I can use on the air, but I sat just off camera, because Mark and Julianne, you know, we weren't needed, they were just off camera. I sat off camera, and I said, okay, just look at me, and each reaction followed, as you see in the movie. So.
Well, you must have really showed them something to get those expressions. That's very
funny.
You
know, I'm a method director, you know, I really...
The casting in your movie is really terrific. I mean, we've talked about Burt Reynolds, and you know, Mark Wahlberg is very good. Julianne Moore, an actress I love, is just wonderful in the role of a porn star who's married to the director played by Burt Reynolds. And W.H. Macy plays an assistant director. Ricky Jay, the sleight-of-hand artist, you know, plays the cameraman. John C. Reilly, who had the starring role in your previous film, Heart 8, co-stars in this. He's terrific. What a find. I mean, do you have an approach to casting that you'd want to talk about? I just think you have a great eye for really good actors.
Yeah. Well, there's two approaches. First is most of those actors that you just mentioned are friends of mine.
Oh.
So and it's wonderful because I get to write parts for them. A, because they're my favorite actors. B, because they're my friends and we get to spend all summer shooting a movie together, you know. So it's just wonderful. And John Reilly and Phil Hoffman, Philip Baker Hall were all in my first movie. And it's a leg up, you know, to be able to go to an actor and say, well, what kind of part haven't you played before? What do you want to do in this one? And what can I write for you that you, you know, would really thrill you? And that's kind of fun. And you can also sort of factor in wonderful personal things about them that, you know, no one else knows, you know, and you can kind of write it in. And the wonderful thing is when they say, this character is nothing like me. And you kind of go, sure, it's not, you know. But anyway, and then, you know, with someone like Ricky Jay, there's a great advantage to, you know, going to make a movie is that you get to kind of meet people that you really want to meet. And for a long time, I wanted to meet Ricky Jay, and this was a way to meet him, to send him the script and go, I want you to be in this movie. Please, can I just hang out with you? Can I just be around you? and he said, okay. You know, with casting, it's funny because, you know, you mentioned Julianne Moore. I mean, she is someone that I had in mind when I wrote the part, but I didn't know her personally, you know. I knew her work. And so I wrote the part with her in mind and gave her the script and she went with it. I have a great casting director named Christine Sheeks, who really has wonderful instincts. She also cast my first movie. And not just in terms of these bigger parts, you know, but in terms of the smaller parts, you know, the thing you always look over is the person that says, you know, that comes on and says, like, more coffee, you know. You always kind of can look those over. And it's fun to... there are so many great actors out there. There really are. There are so many great actors that I really loved making a movie where there's 80 parts. You know, I mean, there's about 80 parts in this movie, and I got to cast 80 actors. And I just love watching them act, you know.
My guest is Paul Thomas Anderson, writer and director of the new film Boogie Nights. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Paul Thomas Anderson, writer and director of the new film Boogie Nights. Boogie Nights has an R rating. But
yeah.
It was originally, I think, an NC-17.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to tone it down?
Well, that's a contractual thing. You know, when I first went to try and get money for this movie, I sat down with New Line and I said, so here's the deal. It's 3 hours long and it's going to be NC-17. And they said, can you pick one? And I said, okay, I'll pick one. I'll take it as a challenge to make this an R-rated movie, but it's going to be long, you know. Are you okay with that? And they said, fine. So contractually, you know, I was obligated to make an R. On our first submission, the film wasn't NC-17. You know, it had... no scene was taken out of the movie to get the R, but it was just a matter of sort of negotiating and trimming down on some of the sex. In the first sex scene that you see between Julianne and Mark, just some of the shots were... extended a bit more, so, you know, I don't know how graphic I can be here, but it basically was just shots of humping, you know, Mark on top of Julianne humping, and if you see his bare ass, and they're just sort of humping, if that goes on too long, that's something they say is a no-no. So you deal with the MPAA, and you kind of negotiate back and forth about what you can get away with and what you can't, and at the end of the day, I'm really happy with where the movie is. You know, I think none of the stuff that they suggested changing was stuff that affected the story, you know. And that was sort of the line that I had to draw was, well, you know, if we're just talking about shots of Mark's butt, you know, that's one thing. But the second any of these suggestions affect the storytelling of the movie, we're going to have a problem. And it never did. You know, it never got there. And the funny thing is that I went back. I was going to do an unrated version for overseas or for Laserdisc, and I looked at it, and it's like 40 seconds worth of stuff. And I said, "Well, this is just silly, and I don't need it. And this is really the best version of the movie."
There's a scene where the Mark Wahlberg character comes home, and you could tell he's aroused by the bulge in his pants. Does that count as something that they wanted? Did you have to negotiate that with the board?
No, that wasn't one. They didn't have a problem with that. They had a problem with, like I said, humping, for how long humping goes on. They had a problem with humping and talking at the same time. And essentially it boiled down to when they said, so she's humping there and she's talking. Can you pick one? And I said, well, the talking is more important. So we just went and shot a shot of Nina Hartley. And I said, Nina, hump once, stop, say your lines, and we'll move on. And we did that and put it in and got the R.
Well, that sounds like a bad joke about not being able to chew gum and walk a straight line at the same time, doesn't it?
Yes. It's a similar thing.
Paul Thomas Anderson is my guest, director and writer of the new film Boogie Nights, and his earlier film is called Hard Eight. There's some great disco through the movie. I'm wondering what your feelings for that music is.
Well, I love all the music in the movie. It's sort of music that comes from my record collection, you know. The criterion for picking the music was it just has to be cool, you know. That was really the first thing. You know, it's nice if on the other hand it can work kind of thematically or maybe lyrically. There's something that happens that kind of complements what's happening in the movie. That can always be nice, you know. But just sort of music should just work on the vibe level first, you know. That's sort of the criterion that we used, and I'm very fond of that music.
The opening scene in your movie has behind it The Best of My Love by
right.
The Emotions. It's really, I mean, that record has to really help set the energy level for the movie. So it must have been really hard to narrow down of all the records you could use. Which one are you going to choose? How did you choose it?
You know what? That was not a tough choice. That to me, there was only two songs sort of as choice for the opening, and it was either Best of My Love or Got to Be Real. And then Carlito's Way came out, and I saw that Got to Be Real was used pretty prominently, so it was very clear to me that The Emotions was the winner, you know. But I love that song. I think I love not only the sort of the lyrical value of the song, but just, like I said, the vibe of the song and the way that it starts to start, you know, in punctuation with the title coming on. It was really great.
Your movie is set in the 70s and early 80s. So, you know, part of the movie, you're really dealing with 70s fashions and 70s looks, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, the stud look or the country and western dude look. My friend likes to call the 70s the decade that fashion forgot. It's the decade you came of age, and I figure when you were growing up, you thought that everybody always wore, you know, big hair and big sideburns and big collars and things
right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
Did you have fun with the clothes in the movie?
I did. You know, I have to say the funny thing is that for as much focus as there is on the 70s stuff, I had more fun with the 80s stuff. I mean, because that was just a clearer kind of memory to me, is sort of moving into my adolescence and, you know, the sort of the wonderful trend of headbands and capizios and, you know, lots of zippers on everything, you know, was actually incredibly fun. The 70s stuff was great, you know, and the funny thing was is that my costume designer, Mark Bridges, actually, we had a hard time finding some of the stuff because, you know, the thrift stores are sort of bare, you know, I mean, 70s fashions are so in vogue now that the thrift stores are sort of all out of this stuff. So we really had to, it was sort of a massive, a much bigger treasure hunt than you might think to find some of these clothes. But the 80s clothes weren't hard to find. There's certainly a lot of headbands and and leg warmers out there.
Unwanted.
That's right.
Paul Thomas Anderson is my guest, writer and director of the new film Boogie Nights, about the pornography film industry from the mid-70s to the mid-80s. His previous film was called Hard Eight. Your first film, Hard Eight, was set primarily in Las Vegas, where, without saying too much about the story, a young guy in his 20s who's really kind of lost finds a father figure who's this kind of expert gambler and mm-hmm. is showing him the ropes in Vegas, showing him the little tricks to get a free room, tricks to make people think that you're a real, like, high-stakes roller and a real winner and all of that. And I'm wondering how much you knew about Vegas when making that movie. About
gambling,
too.
I knew a lot. I'd spent a lot of time gambling, and I still like to gamble. I spent a lot of time in Vegas, and I really was just kind of in a time where I was obsessing about gambling. And I think in the same way I made a movie about the Valley, because I just wanted to stay in the Valley because that's where I lived at the time, I wanted to be able to walk to location. I made a movie in Reno just because I wanted to go gamble. You know, I really wanted to be there.
Why did you want to gamble?
I wanted to make money.
Did you make any?
No.
Did you lose a lot?
I lost a ton. you know? But
you know, I've said this before, but I can never understand why anybody who knows movies gambles, because in every gambling movie, the gambler always loses big in the end and destroys his life and mm-hmm. destroys his family. So, I mean, you always know what the outcome is going to be.
Exactly. But, you know, I think that's why you're there, is spending a year of your life trying to figure out, why the hell am I doing this, you know, and hopefully you can get some answers from it.
Paul Thomas Anderson, he wrote and directed the new film Boogie Nights. We'll talk more in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.